Good morning. Those of you in our Wednesday night class know what a love-hate relationship I have with this little microphone right here. I'm going to try one more time, because if I get the pacing, I'm sure you'll want to know what I said, especially since I've only got 2 hours worth of material right here that I'm going to have to deliver in 21 minutes. Good to see each of you that braved the snow this morning. You saw the snow out there, didn't you? I asked several of you on the way in if you saw the snow and how deep it was, and they thought I'd taken too much Benadryl for these allergies I've got, so that's not the case. But I did see some snowflakes, and I wanted to say also, it's good to see all of you, but for those of my family that are here, I'm not sure what Bobby promised you, but I would make sure she delivers on whatever it was that she promised. I don't know what could have got you here, but make sure she comes through with what she said. The last few years, any groups I've talked to have been either pilot groups or men and women training to be air traffic controllers, so I don't know what I'm going to say this morning. And I may lapse into talking to something about something that you're wondering, what is he talking about? And just kind of indicate, hold your Bible up, and I'll realize, you know, I'm wrong audience, so maybe you can help me out there. Excuse me. As I mentioned this morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time in John. We did in class this morning. And if someone this morning were to walk into our assembly that we knew and we trusted, and he interrupted what we were doing right here, and he said, I want you, every one of you, to come with me. I've discovered the fountain of youth, and I'll show it to you if you follow me right now. I'd probably be talking to an empty house. Some of you probably wouldn't even pause long enough to get your running shoes on. And if you slowed down when you hit the door, you'd probably get run over by me. But you know, Jesus said something that's equivalent to that very thing in John chapter 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we're going to spend a few minutes this morning and talk about some of the implications of the statement that he made, because that's a very exclusive statement. It's a very bold statement. It doesn't have to be very long to mean a whole lot. He started out by saying, I am the way. Now, when you stop and think about the way, guys, we get kidded a lot of times because we don't ask directions. If we're going somewhere, we think we know the way, don't we? Well, we do. And now with the GPS, we don't have to ask. That's even better. And, you know, GPSs, we've heard the stories of how a GPS, you can end up in the middle of nowhere. And I think, in a way, women have a way to get back at us with a GPS. You turn that GPS on, and every time you hear that voice, it's a female voice telling us what to do, isn't it? Have you noticed that? But we can still get back. There's also a mute button on that thing I found. So when Jesus said, I am the way, he made a very bold impact statement. And the world today would suggest to us, no, he's not the way. In the world of science, they have suggested to us for a long time that science is the way. You know, when as a kid, I think it was in the World Book, if I remember right, they showed all those pictures of man that he evolved out. And we just took it for granted they knew what they were talking about, didn't we? And as time went on and we found out some history behind some of that stuff and some of the background things, some of those pictures were just that. They were pictures, kind of like cartoons. They were made up. They were conjecture on their part. Science really didn't know the way after all, as they would suggest. People in the world today, they look for meaning in organizations and clubs and things that they join. They look for meaning in sports. Thank you. sure I want to tackle that thing again or not. Maybe I'll just try to keep from pacing. Must be the magnetism. Others have tried to look for the way in a variety of other things. They look for the answer and the way in sports. The meaning of their whole life is sports. But as these people get older, the sportsmen, the people that's watching the sports, they realize not the way. Some look for the answers of the way in their work. They lose themselves in their jobs to the point they think this is the way, and it provides a meaning, and then that goes away too. Some look for the answer in politics, a phrase that we hear a lot of times for people that think they know the way or they've learned the way other than following Jesus. He died doing what he loves. Have you heard that one lately? He died. What's that supposed to mean? Is that supposed to provide meaning for somebody's life that he died doing what he loves? I've been to some funerals where we hear that he served the Lord and was faithful unto death. That's the better statement. That's the one that if we could, we certainly would want it applied to us. While some of these things that I mentioned, that people are looking for the way, and they may not be inherently wrong, but they divide our allegiance. And Jesus basically said, we know that he indicated to us, you can't serve two masters. And these people have allowed these organizations and these clubs and these events and these things that are helping them to pull them toward that direction. I mean, we're not saying they're wrong in themselves, but when they become our master, that's when Jesus says you can't serve two masters. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus even said, he warned us that being a Christian would not be an easy way. A translation that I like to read is a commentary of the Message. Again, I wouldn't use that for any kind of theological discussion or anything else, but it's a good commentary. I want to read to you from Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. So basically it tells us that being a Christian is a struggle. And those that would suggest to you that being a Christian is not a struggle, is that it's easy, they haven't been one very long, have they? Just looking out here this morning and looking at some of you that have been Christians for many, many years, you know that it's a struggle. You know that it's hard. You know that it's not easy. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I want to read that to you from the Message. Again, it's a good commentary, but listen to the words. He says, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Jesus talked about taking up your cross daily. He didn't say this is something you do ever so often, or he said this is something you do daily. Daily means every day. It means when you wake up, when you go through the day. It means every day. Luke 23-26, again in the Message, he says, then he told them what they could expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I like that. He said, I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Embrace suffering. That's what it says. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? If any of you is embarrassed with me and the way I'm leading you, know that the Son of Man will be far more embarrassed with you when he arrives in all his splendor, in company with the Father and the holy angels. This isn't, you realize, pie in the sky, by and by. That's good stuff, isn't it? This is the way that Jesus spoke of. It's not just a way. It is the way. It's for keeps. It's for all the marbles. You heard that phrase before, for all the marbles? You know where that came from? As a kid, you ever play marbles? And before every game, what'd they say? Playing for keeps. They're not letting the teacher catch you playing for keeps. Of course, I don't think they play marbles now, but we used to in those days. But you better not let the teachers or your parents find out you're playing marbles for keeps. That's where that phrase, this is for all the marbles. You'll hear that in sports a lot, but that's where the phrase came from. And that's what this is. Being a Christian is playing for keeps. It's playing for all the marbles. The New Testament speaks of salvation in the singular form of the way to heaven. And you know, a lot of people that we come in contact with on a daily basis, they believe the phrase that all roads lead to heaven. I've had people say, well, as long as a person's sincere, that's all that's really important, isn't it? And they believe that as long as their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, then everything's going to be okay. And you know, even the Bible talks about morality not just being enough. Jesus said he was the way. The New Testament talks about the way. Acts 16:17 says, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way, being a singular form of salvation. Acts 18:26. Excuse me. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way, singular again, of God more perfectly. Then in Acts 24:14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Jesus says, I am the way. It's a very exclusionary statement. He also said that he said, I am the truth. When we look at the pages of the New Testament, especially in John 18, Jesus is before Pilate. And I kind of understand a little bit of what Pilate may have been feeling. He asked Jesus, he says, and I see a very jaded type person here. He says, what is truth? And you know, we live in a world sometimes, I think we can also start wondering, what is truth? What is truth? We have politicians get on TV, look us in the camera, and lie to us. We have sports figures that lie about their lives. The business world, they say, buy this stock, and all the time these same businessmen are dumping their stock. And I'm not even sure that you got to tell the truth when you go on the Oprah show anymore. The world's played with the concept of truth to the point that I don't know that we even know how to define truth. So when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth, is that really something people want? Or is it something that they can believe? He said it, but is it really important for us to believe what he said or even want what he offers? Proverbs 23:23 still values truth. It says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy the truth and do not sell it. I like that. I like that passage. We're bombarded with false truth. We mentioned just a while ago a lot of times that science will pass off theories, which is just that, a theory, as though it were the truth. And it's almost like if we say a lie enough times or give somebody the theory enough times, it makes it the truth. Kind of like a kid cuts out a picture of a bicycle or something that they want. They put it under the Christmas tree thinking, if I sleep on this, all of a sudden I'll wake up Christmas morning and this will be real. That's not the case. You don't repeat the lie enough times for it to become truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And the Bible emphasizes truth. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Passage we looked at in Bible class this morning, excuse me, John 3:20-21, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth, there's that word, he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And then John 8:31-36, also talking about truth from the message. Excuse me. Then Jesus turned to the Jews who claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples. For sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Surprised, they said, but we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that the truth will free you? Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is in fact a slave. A slave is a transient who can't come and go at will. The son, though he has an established position, the run of the house, so if the son sets you free, you are free through and through. Then John 17, beginning with verse 13, Jesus in his prayer says, Now I'm returning to you, being the Father. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways just as I didn't join the world's ways. I'm not asking you that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defiled by the word, defined by the word, than I am defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is consecrating truth. I wonder how some today say they don't believe the Bible when the Bible was the very thing that indicates the importance of truth itself. This is a testimony that people in the New Testament died for. If someone speaks a lie, and no matter how many times they repeat it, if they're challenged by death, they will usually recant the fact that it's not worth dying for. But yet the people in the New Testament became martyrs for the truth. And that's the testimony that we're talking about. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. And even though the world doesn't value truth, I think we as Christians do value truth. We value the fact that Jesus said he was the way and the truth. And then thirdly, he said he was the life. Again, we talked in this morning about John 1:1. It says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. We learn that Jesus was with God in the creative work in the beginning of Genesis. He wasn't just a good man that showed up in the first century. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And this word upholds in the Greek is the word phiero and means bearing up under or as carrying a load. And this wasn't just something that was done one time. This indicates it's a continuous action that is presently being done. Colossians 1:7, speaking of Jesus, it says that he is before all things and by him all things consist. And the antithesis of life which Jesus provides is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The world's under the mistaken impression that God's going to send people to hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. One of the things in the many years of teaching air traffic controllers that I tried to get across to young men and women that came to work and tried to become air traffic controllers is they give you wages, and this is something you'll probably recognize in your job, they give you wages not because they like you. Now, I know some, that's not a popular concept. They feel like, I show up every day for work, they owe me that wage. No, not so. They give you money because they want something from you, don't they? And it's kind of a contract, these wages thing. You work, they give you money for what you provide. You don't provide what they need, you don't get those wages. And that's the way it works. The wages are something that we receive for what we do. It's no different than what the Bible talks about. God is not sending people to hell. He says the wages of sin is death. This is what you receive. This is something we try to get across to young people today, is the fact that everything has a consequence. Every action that you perform has a consequence. It might be good. It might be middle of the road. It might be bad. But there is consequences for everything that you do. And those are the wages of sin. And so God is not in a situation where he is sending people to hell. We are receiving the wages of sin. So it's something to keep in mind. It's something to share with others. We know that in this life that we all die, but as Christians, our goal is to escape the second death. This second death is the eternal separation from God. Some might not think, well, you know, being separated from God, that's kind of like my normal everyday routine. I don't see God in anything I do. I ain't going to miss him. I don't believe in hell, so I ain't going. And they feel like everything's okay. But the Bible talks about the second death, and that's something that can't escape. We talk about people that have given up their faith in God. And I've heard the saying that there is no atheist on the deathbed. And I believe that to be true. There are no atheists in hell. As we express our faith, God continues to work in our regard. Hebrews chapter 7, 23-25, he's comparing his priesthood of Jesus. And it said, also there were many priests, talking about the Old Testament priest, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore he is able also to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The phrase always live indicates he is still and continually presently working in our behalf as we sin. I like that. This is life eternal. Even though that we die physically, we live with him. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to do steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This word abundantly in the Greek indicates an exceedingly beyond measure life. It's good stuff. It certainly sounds better than the trials of this life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he wasn't done there. In conclusion this morning, let's look at this last phrase. He said, no one comes to the Father except through him. And I love this promise. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. It's an acceptive statement. It means all and only. Some might think that this is a very elitist attitude. How dare he say that no one comes to the Father except through me? I'm very devout in whatever my religion or non-religion might be. And as long as a person's serious and tends to be very moral, it doesn't matter. All roads lead to heaven, they believe. And they feel like that if they live their lives in a very serious manner, that God's bound, or this life force is bound, to give them life eternal, if it truly exists. Life is full of instructions, though. We have an order to the universe. The sun comes up every day, doesn't it? The seasons come and go. It's an ordered fashion that exists in the world. The fact that I'm wearing a watch, it didn't just happen, did it? But yet some would suggest to you that it did just happen. There was this big explosion at the watch factory, and out comes this watch. That's basically what they're saying. I see some of you grinning. And in reality, that's what they've told you. They look at the order of the universe. They look at the instructions manual that God has given us, and they said, there is no order to the universe. It all just happened. There was this big explosion. And as long as you're serious, everything's going to be okay. And it's all just chaos. But yet they would suggest to you that it's not going to be that way. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father through me, don't believe him. That's what they would suggest. Life's full of instructions, though, isn't it? The Bible is in our instruction manual. Have you ever ordered anything with some of these instructions from China? Where maybe the instruction manual was put together as a second language. You spread this thing out. It's kind of like Christmas morning when you're assembling toys, maybe for your kids or something like that. Some of the things that I bought recently, you spread everything out, you look at the instruction manual, can't make heads or tails of the instructions. You think, it can't be that hard. So you start putting it together, you get just about done, and you think, I've done everything the right way. This is the way it should go together. This seems to me to belong here and here and here, and you get done, and you got leftover parts. Now you have to disassemble everything, try to figure it out, put it back together again, and do it the right way. And basically that's what's going on with the Bible. God has said, here is the manual. Here's the instruction sheet. Here's how you do it. He didn't do that in order to mess us up. He gave us the instruction sheet so we wouldn't have all these leftover parts. So when we wouldn't get to the end, we wouldn't be thinking, I wish I had done this. Why didn't we do this? Where does this part go? Where does that part go? Years ago, I know some of you don't eat at the finer restaurants like Burger King, but Burger King had an ad. See, some of you, you know, you're not grinning here because you know that's serious. Burger King had an ad. You remember what the ad was? Have it your way at Burger King. Now, this was an old ad. It was around a long time ago. Those of you that are real young, you won't remember the Burger King ad. But we had a lesson one time on Burger King Christianity. Because Burger King says, if you come to Burger King, have it your way at Burger King, you know, and they sing the little jingle. And, you know, Burger King Christianity doesn't exist of have it your own way. It's God's way. And this is the instruction sheet, and this is how it's done. And Jesus said this was the way to God. And this morning, I would encourage you to believe what he said. He didn't say it to curb your fun. He didn't say it to try to mess us up. He didn't say it any reason other than that's the way it was. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And even though we may participate in the first death, we escape the second death through our faith in Jesus. Through the fact that we follow him, we express our faith in living the Christian life, and we realize that morality is not the answer. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Stand and sing.